Amnesty International is warning that the human rights crisis in the Central African country of Burundi is worsening. The watchdog says Burundi's security forces have been responsible for the systematic killing of scores of people. In 2015, at least 87 people were killed in one day alone this month. Burundi has been in a state of crisis since April when protests erupted in response to President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to seek a third term in office. Rachel Nicholson is a researcher with Amnesty International's East Africa division. Hi there, Rachel. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, good morning.
Can we just talk first of all about the 11th of December? Your organisation describes this as the single most deadly day in Burundi since the current sort of spate of unrest began.
Yeah, that's right. On the 11th of December, there were a series of attacks on military bases in the capital, Bujumbura, and then they were followed by police operations in a number of neighbourhoods that are called opposition neighbourhoods because they were the areas where protests began in April. We've seen a lot of politically motivated killings over the last few months. It's become normal to wake up in the morning to news of bodies being found on the street, sometimes tied up. But on the 11th of December, those tactics were taken to another level, and the house-to-house searches, the people taken out of their houses. Some places it was very clear that people had been shot on sight by police. Others, there's indications that that's what happened.
Who were the people that were killed? Because the government says that they were opposition fighters.
It's possible that some were opposition fighters, and we were told that there were exchanges of fire in those neighbourhoods before the police went house to house. But when we look at the profile of some of the people who were killed, it seems very unlikely that they were involved. I think we can clearly say they weren't. We're talking about people like a teenage egg seller who was shot in the small kiosk where he was serving eggs. We're talking about, you know, the local milk seller. We're talking about the guy who finds houses for people. So these were really people going around their ordinary business and who appeared to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. These are neighbourhoods that have been targeted, as I said, for quite some time because of their connection with the protests. And we've done broader research on what the situation is in Bujumbura at the moment, and it seems that being a young man who comes from one of these neighbourhoods is really, really dangerous at the moment.
Can you explain the political context to what has happened this year?
Yes. So as you mentioned in the opening, protests began in April around Pierre Nkurunziza's bid for a third term in office. Those protests began peacefully. They were violently repressed by the police, and then this really incited an escalation, really, of the violence. People began to organise in some places for self-defence. The elections took place in the summer, and since the president was inaugurated in August, you know, there were some hopes that things would quieten down, but since September, these killings on a really almost daily basis in those areas have continued. We've seen some attacks on police posts, for example, on police positions, and then reprisal attacks within the neighbourhoods. We've also seen, on both sides of the political divide, targeted assassinations of high-level individuals, those who've been politically with political connections, or those even who are, I would say, not necessarily politically active. One example perhaps I can give, which was really, which is quite telling, was a case that we documented on the 5th of December. A grenade was thrown in a local neighbourhood at a vehicle that was carrying police, and the police in response fired indiscriminately into the crowd and ended up killing a 9-year-old boy. He was shot in three places. The police delayed in allowing the population to take him tube. He didn't die straight away, and he wasn't able to get to medical attention, and so he died because of his blood loss. So it gives you a sense of the dynamics.
One of the elements of the dynamic that has probably grabbed a lot of the headlines in relation to Burundi in recent months is the fact that the Tutsi ethnic groups, in some respects, involved in what is going on. That clearly, I suppose, brings back memories of the Rwandan genocide. How much evidence is there of those elements, those factors, driving what's happening?
That's a really important element to be looking into and to be aware of. But our analysis is that this crisis is still remains primarily political, even though we have heard recently some quite worrying use of quite ethnically divisive language on the part of some quite high-level politicians. That was back in November particularly, and clearly there are tensions there. And
what is the can you just explain, many of our listeners won't be that familiar with Burundi's ethnic makeup. What is the split, and how deep are the divides, I suppose?
So I mean, Burundi's ethnic makeup and the history of divides is quite complicated, of course.
I'm sure you can answer it in the length of a tweet.
I can. Absolutely. No, so the three main ethnic groups, well, there are two main ethnic groups, which are the Tutsi and the majority Hutu, and then there's also a smaller group called the Twa. But really the main tensions are between the Hutu and the Tutsi. But I really would, I think, like to emphasise that although there are divisions there and we are talking about some ethnically divisive language, people really have said to us what progress Burundi has made since the civil war on this level. And one of the reasons why the current crisis has been so tense is because one of the issue of the term limits was almost the pinnacle of the peace agreements that were arrived at to bring to an end the civil war about 10 years ago. And one of the key elements of that was an element of ethnic power sharing to make sure that everyone was represented in government in Burundi. So that's one of the reasons why this term limits issue was so important to people. But I really would just emphasize that for now, the crisis really does seem to continue to be politically motivated. And I think it's important to hold on to that.
Rachel Nicholson, on that note, we'll leave it there.
Thanks very much.
Rachel Nicholson is a researcher with Amnesty International's East Africa Division.